The Local Thread.
Hello, guys, and welcome to La Prensa Habla. My name is Kevin Salinas. I am Vice President of the Board of La Prensa.
Hello, I am Dr. Linda Alvarado-Atze. I'm the editor of La Prensa.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about what we're going to be offering people with, what we're going to be giving people with this podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Linda?
Yeah, I first want to start with La Prensa Habla is an extension of La Prensa, our weekly bilingual newspaper that's the oldest newspaper in Ohio and Southeast Michigan. Started right here in Toledo, Ohio with Richard Neller, known as Rico Neller, in 1989. Paper comes out on Wednesdays. It's online on Thursdays every week, and it covers issues like our Latino culture, arts, education, immigration, numerous other hot topics, while also highlighting our Latinx community leaders and experts. And that's exactly what La Prensa Habla is also going to do. We're going to highlight and try to bring together and try to share all of our Latino experts, community leaders, initiatives, community events, things that are happening. We're going to try to put that here and share that with everybody through this wonderful opportunity that we've had with WGTE. So it's really just an extension of our paper, which is in print, to be habla, which is to speak, to talk. So now it's almost a spoken word that we're going to begin to do here with this opportunity that we've had. So I'm really looking forward to being able to discuss everything that we're doing and even share our new song that is our theme song that will represent. You'll hear it every time you hear it. You're going to know that La Prensa Habla is getting started. And we have the writer, and we also have the person that sings the song. And I encourage everybody as well to please look at the video because it represents a lot of what La Prensa is and what La Prensa is about, which is community. And when you look at the video, you also begin to see Ivan Ramos, who's here with us right now, going throughout our community, our Latino community, our historic South End of Toledo as well. So it's very reflective, and that is why the song to me was very important, outside of the fact too that to Richard Neller, to Rico, that we all know he loved Ivan. If you ever went into La Prensa, the offices, there was a whole wall. I think it was just the whole wall filled of Ivan's posters and concerts and her winning awards. And, you know, he was a big fan of Ivan. So I kind of think that La Prensa Habla has gone full circle with the newspaper. Now, outside of just it being in print, we're able to share everything with others via radio as well and online streaming. And we're able to highlight one of Rico's favorites as well.
You know, I think the community here in Toledo definitely needs something like this, because part of my goal is that we can inform all of our Latino and Latina brothers and community in general, of everything that's going on, right? There's a lot going on right now in the world, and I think the more information we can give them, the more we can give back to our community and also, highlight, whether it's businesses, highlight, just artists in our community. I think it's just going to be very crucial. And I think that's part of the reason why I'm excited about this journey.
This is our first one, and we're really excited to have Ivan Ramos and Jacob Estrada here in the studio with us.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this very first podcast. I think what you guys are doing is wonderful. Thank you for the kind words, and I'm so glad that you did mention Rico Neller. Rico Neller was a beautiful person to our family. Honestly, he helped me in the beginning years of me beginning to sing with my dad. I was 15 years old. Mm. And he would highlight me, and he encouraged me all these years. So I think maybe he thought I was maybe he thought he was personally like responsible for getting me started all these years. I don't know. But he never would take credit. He just always encouraged. But thank you for using our theme song. When you had approached me about the music, I thought, Oh my gosh, I know exactly what it was. And I really do think it's because of the video. Mm-hmm. We have, if you go to our video, you can find it under Ivani Fuego on YouTube. And if you, in that video, you'll see me and my band, we're like walking through the old South End. We're walking in front of a bunch of murals. And one of the things I didn't even realize what was so important, that we had the mural underneath the bridge that was torn mm-hmm. down that mm-hmm. is no longer there.
Yep.
So I think you were there too with us, Jacob, weren't you?
I was there, yeah. You could see me in the background doing little dance moves here and there.
Oh, yeah, he's in the video too. And the song is Que la vida es sola una.
Que la vida es sola una. We only have one life, yes. And, I, with the energy and everything, I think it's a really great representation of the culture in Toledo, I think, you know. Of course, I think we can do so much better in expanding the Latino culture in who we're including and who we're meeting and who we know about. I know me and you talked about that in like personal conversation about how many people we don't know in this community. And so like I'm really glad that you have that on your list to kind of dig deeper into that. But I really just want to give credit to Jacob Estrada.
Thank you.
Who wrote this great song. It's so funny. He said, Ivan, I have a song for you. And he comes to my house with just him and an accordion. And he plays this song. And he's messing up just like, because I think you just wrote it.
So what happened was I think Michael had reached out to me and said that he's looking for a few songs for your guys'
my
album.
My husband.
Yes, your husband.
The band director of
the
our band.
Band director,
and manager.
Yes.
Multi-hats.
So, yeah.
Driver.
And,
driver.
Real awesome guy. And so I think we had reached out to a few people, and I got excited. I was like, oh, wow. You know, he wants to test me out and see if I can write a song for them. I kid you not, within 20 minutes, because I've known Yvonne for a long time, I've watched her from the very beginning into where she was, you know, got out there and excelling. So I literally wrote this song within 20 minutes. It was, when I say it was easiest, because I know Yvonne like that. You know what I mean? And
that is such a gift, though. Who can write
exactly
like that? That is still a gift, Jacob.
But I will tell you something. It's since then, it's not been that easy to write a song that fast. But I think the energy that Yvonne gives and knowing her for many years, it just made it also the more special for me. And so I recorded a little video of it and sent it to Michael. Michael's like, okay, come over to the house, or we're going to go over it. And, you know, I mean, I had this little piano accordion, and I'm just going over some of the chords and going to the lyrics. We're all chicken scratch. And so we had to rewrite it, get it all clear, format it to where, and we just went over and they decided, yep, we're going to use that song. And that's how that came about.
I still have the recording of you playing that, believe it or not. And it's like, he's like barely kind of singing it, and the chords are all wrong. He's messing up, but I could hear. And you said it was special to you because you know me, and it was also special for me to record that song because I felt like I was getting it from a very good friend. Funny how things come full circle. We started in catechism together at Good Shepherd Church, so that's how our friendship. When we were like 14, I think.
Yeah,
I was 14.
Absolutely.
So how does that process look like? Like, you know, so, you know, obviously someone, they came up to you, said, hey, you know, can you write a song? Like, I guess, where does that motivation come from? Where do you go?
Yes, Jacob. Inquiring minds want to know.
So, yeah, it's just like any other art or gift that when you've done it for a long time, you know how to season it. Mm-hmm. And when they approached me on that, I had already written I had just released an album not too long ago, and I wrote two songs on that album. Mm-hmm. But so I've already gotten the practice in. Mm-hmm. The inspiration just comes from life experiences, or sometimes other people's experiences. This is the funny thing, is because a lot of people think the songs that you write are always about you. Mm-hmm. And it's not always about me. Because we know, as musicians, we know a lot of people. We've experienced a lot of things in life. And so sometimes you can look at somebody and you know what they're going through in life, say, that's an inspiration for this song. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you just said, you know, when you write, obviously you write from other people's experiences as well. You know, I listen to music both in English and Spanish. It seems to me like a lot of artists, American and, you know, artists write music. When they write and record music, it's their own personal experience. Obviously being Hispanic, I know that that's in our culture. That's part of our culture to write in other people's like point of views, right? What do you think about that? Like, do you think it's like a cultural thing that, or is it just across the board for writers?
Yeah, I do. Well, because, you know, the Latino community, us as Latinos, you got to understand Spanish comes from a romantic, sentimental language. The message comes across pretty strong. Mm-hmm. You know, you know where they're going with that. I knew that I was going to write this for Yvonne in Fuego. I knew that Yvonne would be the perfect person to represent what the lyrics are about, and especially her being a Latina, a leader. I consider her a leader in this community. And I just knew the lyrics would fit her well, and she would be able to represent it, and other people would be able to feel coming from her what the context of that song is about.
It makes me feel so good.
No. And you won an award for this. Correct?
Actually, we had already won our award.
Oh, okay.
So this song that he recorded, we recorded on our second CD. So our first CD album was actual award-winning in San Antonio, Texas. We went there. We won the TTMA award, which is a huge honor. It's crazy because I get to say I have the same award Selena has.
Like, yeah, you know, that's awesome. That's awesome.
No,
for Toledo,
is,
too.
So when we came back from Texas with like a new fire under us, because we knew we have to keep this going. And we started music immediately, like getting in the studio, picking songs for the second CD. And the minute I heard Jacob, the recording of that song, because I think it was just you and Michael, I was in the car. We had come from somewhere and I was waiting in the car, and Michael's like, I'm going to go inside real quick because Jacob's going to show me the song he wrote. And you guys literally came out 10, 15 minutes later, and he's like, okay, I got it on bad audio, you know. The phone wasn't even that sophisticated. And he played a little bit of it. He goes, it's a really bad recording. But through it, I could hear the beauty, and like immediately it sparked that, you know, creative juices. Like I wanted to get my hands on that song that moment, get in the studio and start doing something with it.
Me
when you think when you hear that song now, does maybe like a you know, do you hear it now and you're like, oh, I could have done this a lot better, or I could have.
So yes, I always whatever I listen to that I've already done, I always think like, man, I could do that so much better. But, and I'm sorry, I just think the video just, I don't even know how it even came to be. I knew I wanted to be in front of the murals. And then us finally walking through, if you see, we even have the Toledo seal. We kind of zoom in on that. And just getting some of the artwork that, unfortunately, you know, we don't have anymore, you know, because they had to tear down that old bridge and put the, I think it's a taller bridge. I don't know.
And besides YouTube, where is the videos site?
Actually, right now we only have it on our YouTube. We also have a page, Ivani Fuego, on Facebook.
I know it's on Spotify because one time when I was DJing,
Spotify, Apple Music. Well, the video isn't there, but you can find our music, Spotify, Apple Music. You can find it on, I don't even know what other music platforms are out there, but
tell us a little bit about yourselves. Something, you know, more personal, maybe some things you haven't told anybody else.
So I was 14 years old and I used to lock myself up in my room and I used to shut the door because nobody can hear anything through that, you know. And I used to sing things at the top of my lungs. I used to sing, oh gosh, Whitney Houston, the Jets,
Selena,
Paula Abdul, Selena, of course. Yeah. You can't Ven Conmigo, that
you still you
out.
Still sing Selena, right?
I do. I try not to do so much because I feel like people just expect it. And then all of a sudden when you do it, people think that you're trying to be like her. So it's like it's a no-win battle. So I try to do one song because who cannot? I mean, I have to pay homage to the queen, right?
Right.
But I was 14 years old and I would sing in my room and I had no clue. My parents were outside the door listening. My dad had to learn a song for a quinceañera and the sister wanted to come and sing the song. So she was have to come practice with the band. Well, we were in high school and she was in high school. She had sports and then all of a sudden she couldn't make it. And my dad and the band, they learned this English song for this girl's quinceañera and they learned all the music. And my dad said, I need you to go downstairs. I heard you sing this song in your room. I need you to sing it with the band. And awesome. I said, I do not want to go down there. I'm not doing it. And here's where the old parenting style comes. I didn't ask you. I told you, get downstairs and sing this song. Oh my gosh, I was so scared, so nervous, didn't think I could do it. And so my dad had this really long microphone cord, you know, those microphone cords that get wrapped around your feet when you're performing, Jacob.
Yep.
He ran it from the basement and he ran it all the way upstairs to the kitchen door and I stood at the top of the steps and I sang my first song with the band. I was terrified, but it also came supernatural. It was really weird. And the only one who could see me was my mother.
And you were 14.
I was 14 years old.
Wow.
And
So you record your first song, you know, and I guess what happens after that?
Actually, I recorded my first song. Oh, gosh. I was probably 16 or 17 years old.
Oh, so 2 years after.
I had gone to the Tejano Music Awards when they used to have them in the old, Marriott downtown. Mm-hmm. And with Rico Neller. Rico Neller was, he hosted it along with a whole bunch of other financial backers. And I had never won an award when it was at the Marriott downtown. I was 16, I think, when I first started performing. Like they asked me to come out and sing a song, you know, because they had different artists. You know, it was a beautiful event where all musicians would come together and you got to hear people from near and far. And
was that your first time on stage?
No. I was actually 14 years old. And my uncle was married to a woman and her brother was getting married. So my aunt's brother, so he wasn't my family. And it was his wedding and they threw me up on stage and I stood there with a mic and I thought I would be like so nervous. I thought I was like, am I going to puke on stage? You know, those are the things that go through your mind when you don't know what to expect when you're scared. And I got up there and it was a very natural thing for me to sing. In fact, I felt less afraid to sing in a room full of people I didn't know.
Yeah, because I've seen you perform and sing and you seem so natural. Like it's just like part of who you are. You just go up there and you just share and you put so much energy behind it and you're all over everywhere and you just like get into that zone.
It's taken a lot of years of practice.
Really?
To get to that zone.
I would never have figured that.
And even now, I don't know if I see myself that way at all. Like anymore. It's kind of like driving. Have you ever driven somewhere and you're like, I don't remember turning, but somehow I ended at my destination?
Mm-hmm.
That's what singing sometimes is like for me. It's like, who drove the car? I have no clue.
Autopilot?
Not autopilot, but I think you get so engrossed into your moment and what you're doing and making sure you're hitting that note and making sure that, you know, everything is eye contact when you're in a band.
Jacob, you sing as well. You do mariachi. I've also watched you perform numerous times. You know, you play your music, you write your music. So tell everybody that's listening a little bit about who.
Yeah, so my history comes back from both of my grandfathers are musicians. I'm only half Latino, so my mom's father played the banjo, he played the guitar, and he did country music. Looked like Kenny Rogers, and he passed away when I was about 7 years old. And then my grandfather, my father's father, and all his brothers were musicians as well. So I grew up around music, but my biggest influence, I would say, would have been the radio, because I think with my father growing up and my grandfather. Them just constantly playing every weekend. My father kind of steered away from going out to Latino dances, and he was more into the rock. So I grew up listening to rock and country. At about 14 years old, the same age as Yvonne, I really started getting in touch with my Latino roots. And I fell in love with this girl, and she didn't speak English. And I told her cousin, well, tell her, you know, hey, I want to see if you want a date. And she came back. She said, no, because you don't speak Spanish and she don't speak English.
What?
So I got home that day and I told my grandparents from this day forth, I said, you are going to speak to me only in Spanish because I need to learn Spanish. My grandparents said, okay.
And that's a motivator.
And it was. And at that point, I started reading La Prensa. Anything I found in Spanish, I got my hands on, I would read it. I would sit down and watch these novelas my grandparents would watch. I'd watch all the old Vicente Fernandez movies, Antonio Aguilar, Cantiflas.
That explains a lot about
There's a mariachi influence.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I would see Vicente Fernandez like, man, I want to be like that guy one day, man. He's got all these beautiful women. He's got the horses. He's got the
stud.
But my dream actually was, before all that, was to be a heavy metal rock star, but things changed. My grandfather, my tío Vale, they came out of retirement. They wanted to start a band again, and they asked me and my cousin Eric, my cousin Robert, and they started the band. And that's how we got started. I was probably about 17 at that time. I had one previous experience, and I got to give a shout out to the Aztecas. There was a time me and Ronnie Longoria went to school together. And the drummer, the brother, he had to take a vacation. And I remember Ronnie approaching me saying, hey, you play the drums, right? I was like, oh, I do rock music. He goes, oh, yeah, you'll be all right. You know, why don't you help us out on the drums? I was like, man, I know nothing about it. He said, you'll be all right. I did a whole month, man, between the drum machine and me just keeping a little simple beat. And that kind of got me hooked as well.
So how old were you when you started writing?
So now that is a very interesting thing, too, because I think I wrote my first song when I was 8 years old. And it was this country romantic song.
Was it to that girl?
No. That came later. And that song wasn't, it was Spanglish because I still wasn't speaking good Spanish. So but my first song actually was around 8 years old. And then after that, throughout the years, I've always wrote music, but I was never confident about it. And it wasn't until I joined a band with a legendary, well-known artist, Jesse Ponce, Sale Pimienta. He played with Flaco. He took me under his wing and taught me a lot of the ropes of the business. And him and I recorded a few albums. And although not anything that I wrote was put on that album, but him and I did perform a few songs that I had wrote. Nothing really came about them, but that was my motivation at that point.
We do have to take a break, guys. But before we take a break, I have one question for you guys. Just if you guys could work with one artist, or unless you guys already have, who would that artist be?
You're going to put us on the spot like that.
Good one. Yeah, when they probably have a million of them in the room.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you got to.
Dead or alive. Doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. Well, obviously, for me, it would be Selena because, I mean, she is honestly probably one of the reasons I fell in love with Tejano music. I seen a girl that looked close to my age. She danced. She liked R&B music, and she just was completely out the box. So,
also another bilingual, English a lot, and
she learned Spanish later in life as well.
Very similar. Yep.
So that's a good question for me because I love heavy metal. Iron Maiden would be the one. They're my all-time favorite group. I actually wrote a song that I thought one day I'll submit to Iron Maiden. It's called El Conquistador. And I don't know if that'll ever happen. But and then Javier Solis, and Vicente Fernandez would be the two. I love Javier Solis's music for the romanticism mm-hmm. that's behind it. And then Vicente Fernandez, just for that, what he brought when he came out as far as that hard pounding mariachi. He changed it up and he brought a different.
Vicente, the dad, not the son.
The father. Yeah.
El señor.
You know, honestly, those are all great artists. And Yvonne, we know you do have to leave. So thank you very much for joining us today and just,
thank
you know,
you
giving
so
us your
much
insight.
For having me here. I'm so excited for you guys.
It's been a minute, Yvonne. So it's good to see you again.
Always good. And I hope to see you guys again soon. Thank you so much.
And we hope that, you know, we start hearing some more music, some more of your music soon.
Well,
so
you guys will be one of the first to know. I'm just saying.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wow, that was amazing to have Yvonne and Jacob in here sharing the song that he did. Jacob is as amazing as a writer. And having Yvonne here, she's like a local celebrity for us here in Toledo. And like I had mentioned in that episode with her, it was so neat to just be able to bring that all back together with Rico, who was the founder of La Prensa as well. So I'm Linda Alvarado Adse.
And I'm Kevin Said Salinas.
In this part of the segment, now that we've gone over the song, our theme song that La Prensa Habla is now going to be using, we also went over what each of these segments are going to look like, mm-hmm. you know, how they're going to be. We're going to have somebody come in here, talk to us a little bit about our culture, what's going on in our community and stuff. And then we are going to hone more down, look more specifically at that. And then break bread like we just did, despite any differences on things that we have. We can at least all, Latinos like to eat together. And so now I'd like to also be able to share with everybody that's listening the other two co-hosts that you will also be listening to. If I'm not around or Kevin's not in, we'll have some fill-ins. My fill-in is Jessica Molina.
Hello. So nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
And my fill-in is Chaz D. Bose.
And I appreciate that. I thought my own mother would have allowed me to be her fill-in.
Oh, no.
But it looks like she is so far steeped into her Latinx feminism that she had to bypass her own son, which is okay. We forgive you because, Jessica, you are definitely, I am sure, much more qualified in many ways. And so I hail to that. And but what would be very interesting, I think, as our host, would be if you guys could tell us a little bit more about yourselves. We would really love, and even though I'm not your fill-in, I'll start with my mom. And just let's see if you can tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, because we're also impressed with it. I'm sure our listeners will be as well.
Well, I am Dr. Linda Alvarado Atze. I have recently put the doctor on there because I have, after many years of working on my PhD, finally finished my PhD. My PhD is in education.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And my PhD revolves a lot around Latino studies, about our Latino population, about immigrants, about social justice, about peace, conscientious objectors. I get involved in a lot of different organizations in that way. I am now interim executive director for the Fellowship of Reconciliation USA out of New York City, which is the oldest pacifist organization in the U.S. with our affiliate internationally out of Venice.
Real quick question. Do you get an apartment with that new position? Like, do we get to visit you?
What he's really asking is, can I go to New York City?
I'm tired of paying for those expensive hotel rooms in New York.
And, And the good thing about this organization is we are affiliated with and we work very closely. We do have a house in Stony Point, New York, 30 minutes north of the city. And it's a community living tradition kind of place where some people would think of it as kind of like back in the day when people could be in communes. We don't really use communes. That's more of a derogatory term. We use more like community living tradition where everybody lives together in the same piece of land. This land was land that was once indigenous land. So every time we go there, we pay homage and we give credit to our indigenous founders of that land. And that land has a zen. It has a community room. It's got a cafeteria, a gift shop, conference space, and it's got a community garden. Everybody just lives together. The other thing that I'm very excited about that I do locally is I oversee, I'm president of ALAS, which is Avance Latinx Academico Society, that's located over at Escuela Smart, which is the only bilingual public school in Toledo, Ohio. And it's right now currently pre-K through sixth grade. And soon, Toledo Public School, it's a part of the public school, soon we will be to 12th grade and we will be expanding. We know that being bilingual is very important in this world today. And we also know that there's different areas in which we need students to be bilingual in. And so we're hoping to cultivate some bilingual people and, you know, get them to go all over. That just opens the door to them to have all sorts of different careers. So I'm very active with that. I also own a feminist bookstore. So when I'm on this program and you hear me telling Kevin over here, chill out on the guy stuff, you know, be more inclusive. Or you see me advocating for the X because I am more inclusive for the LGBTQAI plus population.
AI.
That's why. That's why I'm very, very passionate about being very inclusive to all groups, but specifically for the historically marginalized populations.
Wait, what's the like, AI? Like,
the
it's IA, right?
IA, the plus, plus, plus. So I'm very active
in
that.
You're a mom,
too. I am a mother. I am a mother of four with my oldest here. I am a grandmother of two beautiful granddaughters. I am an ambassador for the art museum, the Toledo Art Museum as well. So I spend a lot of time volunteering and advocating for our art museum and our arts here. I am also the editor then of La Prensa, which also takes up a lot of my time, and then also here with La Prensa Habla.
And Kevin, you're really involved with La Prensa too, right? Before this podcast. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at La Prensa.
My full name is Kevin Said Salinas, from Honduras, born and raised until I was 6-7 years old. And I say 6-7 because I migrated to the United States, lived in Joplin, Missouri, until I was about 15, 16. And then I actually traveled state to state working in roofing and construction. And, you know, just being in the Hispanic community, living kind of both worlds, right? Understanding what we look for when we go to new cities as Latinos, what resources are out there. So I've always just kind of figured those things out on my own. But I came to Toledo back when I was back in 2018. I'm now a husband, a father of three boys, all under five. So I don't sleep many nights.
Can we go back to how you humbly said that you work on roofs and housing? Like, you do more than that.
So in 2018, when I came to Toledo, I used all of my experience just from traveling and just working in different cities and states to start my own company, Salinas Exteriors, here in Toledo, Ohio. And yeah, you know, honestly, you know, thankfully, thank God, it's going very, very well. And, you know, it's all because of that experience that I had kind of, you know, as crazy as it sounds, I'd go into cities living in my car. I'd live kind of like what you just said, Linda, but in a way different, kind of like the Hispanic way, right? You would actually, I'd go into apartments where you rent out little spaces, and you'd have 20, 30 people, and you learn to grow and make something of that from there. So that's the living in big cities is like. you know, now now I'm very involved in La Prensa. You know, God has blessed me very much, and I have multiple businesses now. And my passion is to give back. So I joined La Prensa as the vice president because I love to help us as a community, as Latinos. And my plan is to use my voice, my story, to really help us as Latinos unite and help each other because unfortunately, you know, in our community, there's lots of envy, there's lots of jealousy and lots of things that...
you must have just saw that Selena movie, the documentary. You must have just saw that documentary on Netflix.
This is why we have you here, Chaz. we need you to bless us. Pray for us.
But yeah, no, we have huge plans with La Prensa to rebrand and hopefully be that voice that I think Toledo needs for the Hispanic community.
I'm just so impressed, Kevin, that you moved to Toledo. Literally, my favorite people are people who choose Toledo. Mm. Toledo is such a great city with so many great opportunities. And so I'm always excited to see and listen and hear the voices of why did you choose Toledo? What was that? I know that when I was 17, I decided to move to Toledo and start a church that, thank God, there's people that I'm still pastoring today from that group of people. And not only am I able to pastor people that started with me all those years ago, but now their kids and their grandkids, and taking over and deciding that we would maintain La Prensa was something that was very out of the box for a pastor. People were very scared. They said, oh my goodness, is this going to become a religious thing now as opposed to a community-based newspaper? And we said, of course not, because the beautiful thing about Latinos is not one of us thinks alike. Not one of us has all of the exact same experiences. And I think people have thought for many years now that you can just put Latinos in a box. And I still use that word. My grandmother told me that's the only word she expects me to use. And so we've been told that you could just put us in a box, and you really can't. We are all so different. We all think so different. And what I would rather do is celebrate our differences. I think God created every color. He created every flower. He created every tree. And he created every person. And not one of us has to be the same. So I believe in being very celebratory of all of our differences. But one person I'm just so glad to meet today is Miss Jessica. And so I'd love to hear more about you too, Jessica.
Yeah, so I don't know that I can say I chose Toledo. Maybe Toledo chose me.
It can do that too. They say once you drink the water, you never leave.
Yeah, so, but I did grow up in the area. I grew up in a very small farm town. We were migrants growing up. And so that was my background. And, you know, with being a farm worker, there comes poverty. And I always found myself reading books. That's when I felt most alive. And so I ended up going to college, going to grad school. I studied in New York City at Columbia University's Teachers College. And I learned the focus was Latinos in the United States, as far as like education goes. And I just knew that I wanted to come back to the area and bring everything that I learned through all of my studies back here. So like you, I'm just so happy to be here.
And even though you said, you know, you grew up in poverty, it's like financial poverty, though, mostly.
Right,
not
yes.
Familial poverty.
No.
Because your childhood was probably so much more rich than 90% of the people we encounter today, because what I wouldn't do to go back and have homemade tortillas and
exactly.
refried beans and just everything else. I mean, the riches of the family. And that's what I'm glad that you'll be able to bring to this table, the riches of the farm workers' voices.
Yes. That's very true because, you know, when I lived in poverty as well, you know, the thing with when you get out of poverty, your life is full of businesses and people, and, you know, your life just moves a lot faster. When you live in poverty, you learn to appreciate, and you learn to just, like, take your time. Yeah, the true wealth of just the simple life, right? A simple.
And that's
life.
Why a lot of people give it up. So when I talk about that community living tradition, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Is those aren't people that are born into poverty, but they're people that have selected to then give all of your money communally to this group. And then you all live. Everybody, some may put a little bit more, some may you know, not be able to put, some may, you know, but it all evens out. But some people selectively choose to put themselves in that position.
Well, because it's so rich to share with each other. And I think that's what we need more of. And that's what I'm grateful to WGTE for giving us the opportunity to do exactly that. We may not have a wealth of resources, but we have a wealth of information mm-hmm. to share yep. with the listeners of this awesome station. We're really grateful for this opportunity.
A wealth of stories, too. the guests that we have planned to come on and talk here, you know, have lots of incredible stories. That, you know, I believe that's how we learn from each other, especially in the Hispanic community, and just how close knit we are and family based. And, you know, you guys, we're going to be getting into our third segment here with Jacob is coming back to he's bringing a dish to us. He's bringing, I think, what is it?
Guacamole.
Guacamole. Okay. So yeah, we'll be back, and then we'll come back to our third segment.
Let me know how good it is, because Chipotle's is pretty good. So let me know. How does it compare? Let me know.
Welcome back to La Prensa Habla. Habla, because we're going to be working on a Spanish word every single time that we do these recordings. Habla is to talk, because La Prensa, the newspaper, is in print. We're now talking. I am Dr. Linda Alvarado Adse.
And I'm just Kevin Salinas. And this is probably going to be my favorite part of these shows, because we get to eat something. We're here with Jacob once again. Tell us, what have you made?
So I decided to make guacamole. Guacamole is a dish that you will find mostly in every good Mexican restaurant, which I do own a Mexican restaurant downtown Toledo, and so I'm privileged to be here to share my guacamole recipe. It's very simple, but it makes it very delicious. And in this day and age, there's a trend of, I mean, just doctoring up guacamole, throwing fruit in them, throwing shrimp in them, and throwing all kinds of stuff. And they're very good. But I thought I would just make the guacamole how I learned how to make it.
A lot of people, I know a lot of American people always mix up two words, guacamole and aguacate.
Oh,
right?
Oh, yep.
You are so right about that, because sometimes I'll have people say, I want to order some tacos, and can I get some guacamole on them? I'm like, do you want guacamole on your tacos, or do you want avocado? Well, I want guacamole. And then I go, are you sure? Because now I have to make a whole thing of guacamole, because I make it on the spot.
Oh,
I don't make a bunch of it ahead of time. And so I explain to them, like, oh, yeah, I wanted the avocado.
Yeah. Now, does it matter the avocado that you use? Because there's many different types of avocados as well.
Yeah, so the avocados that I used are imported from Mexico. I've had the Peruvian avocados, and I found that, I think because there's more time involved as far as distance, packaging and stuff, they're not as
creamy.
And they seem to rot out a lot faster. The ones that we'll find the most are the ones from Mexico. Although California, I will say, I wouldn't, because I spent a lot of time in California. California avocados are the bomb. But you find them mostly in the stores, especially in big quantities for restaurants who order a lot of avocados. You get them from Mexico, and that's because the prices of them, although they fluctuate up and down.
I'm interested to know what you put in your guacamole then.
Yeah, so in the guacamole, I usually use, depending on the size of the avocado, for one serving of guacamole at a table, it can be between 2 or 2.5 avocados. I put it in a molcajete, which a molcajete is a stone bowl that's traditionally used in Mexico, Central America, and we grind it. I had the stone. I don't know what happened to it, but I use this. I don't even know what you call it in English. Here we go, getting into the Spanish stuff. It's called,
good.
I call
say
it my machucador.
Say it in
my
Spanish.
My machucador. And then I add tomatoes, onion, and cilantro. And then I have a condiment that I make up myself. It's, I would say, salt. The majority of it is salt, and then probably about one-third of pepper and one-third of ground garlic. Mm-hmm. And that's all I use. And then I squeeze a whole lime into it, and mm-hmm. it just comes out delicious.
Nice. And the lime acts as a preserve.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. In for flavor. Okay. I've had some guacamoles without lime, and if you don't know how to spice it up the right way, it can be a little bland.
Yeah. You know, when I make guacamole at home, I like to add cilantro.
Put cilantro in his. He said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But Kevin, you're from Honduras.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so your guacamole over there may be different than our Mexican guacamole?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I know what my mom taught me. And, you know, one of the things actually I was going to ask you was she always said, you know, put like the whole seed. If you put the whole seed in like the mm-hmm. guacamole, like it doesn't like go brown. Black or whatever.
Yes, that is true. Usually when you cut the avocado, and you leave the seed inside the avocado, it helps keep it from going rotten. Yep. And then, yes, if you're going to store it, I take two or three seeds and put it in there. Mm-hmm. And then I put plastic over it, and I add a little water on the top of it, too, on top of the plastic.
Mm. Well, I'm going to get up and try a little bit of this because it looks delicious.
Go for it. And you make your chips as well?
I do. I make them homemade there as well.
Wow. And the restaurant over there, that also has different ethnic Latino foods, not just Mexican, correct?
So I've had the privilege of traveling to a lot of different countries throughout the years because of the music that we were talking about previously and for humanitarian, missionary-type work. And so I've learned a lot of recipes, and we serve some Guatemalan dishes, the Guatemalan tamales. And then we serve a dish that's called the lomo saltado, and that is it has some Oriental history behind that. And I could talk forever about that, but has some Oriental spices and sauces that go into it, and it's marinated steak that goes over the French fries with some Peruvian sauces. In Oriental sauces, and it is so good. It's my favorite dish.
So actually, you're talented at cooking. You're talented with writing music, mm-hmm. with playing music.
Boy. Yeah, that's funny. People told my wife, "Wow, you're so blessed," because I do massage as well. Wow, you are so blessed. You're so lucky. I mean, he cooks, he sings, and does massage. She goes, "Yeah, but he doesn't know how to fix a car. The kitchen cabinets are falling apart, and all this other," which she's very true. I am not a handyman, so there's some downfalls for having that heavy artistic side.
At what? How long have you been cooking?
On the serious side, I got serious about it when I was 19, and I started working at a Greek restaurant in Woodville Mall. But before that, I always enjoyed, you know, just being in the kitchen around my grandparents mm-hmm. and my mother too. My father was a good cook, but he worked a lot. He loved to barbecue, which is something I have not mastered.
Yeah, and you said you worked at a Greek restaurant, and you also mentioned traveling. So you've kind of would you say in a way you've created your own recipes?
Absolutely. I lived in Mexico for almost 4 years, and I learned a lot over there.
Where did you live in Mexico?
It was Tecate. It's right across the border between Tijuana and Mexicali. Mm. And so that was probably one of the best experiences of my life.
How old were you then?
I think I was around 34 or 35 years old.
Wow, that's not that long ago then.
No, it wasn't. Wow. Yeah, I went over there to help. I was an interpreter for a church over there and then was help teaching some young ones different instruments, musicians, so they could form a praise and worship team as well.
Wow, that's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. I did not know that. You have so much going on.
I do have a lot going on. And
I follow you sometimes on Facebook, and I'm just surprised at everything that you do because you have so many jobs as well. And you have a small child.
I have a small child and one on the way.
Another
one on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That'll be my seventh child. Maybe it's because of the avocado, all the avocado I eat. You know, the avocados.
Aphrodisiac?
They say
the tomato is too.
Right? They say the Aztec, it was in Nahuatl word, and they call it the fruitful fruit because it makes you produce fruit, I guess.
How do you balance everything, you know?
That's very difficult at this point. I think that everything that I'm doing right now is I'm on this journey of becoming debt-free. And it's my main drive because I lost a lot of years of having fun but not investing in my future. So I would make money, I would spend money, and then I'd get myself in debt. And so the drive and energy is my family and just knowing that I want to be out of debt so I can enjoy my current children that have just been born. My other children, we've had a wonderful life of them growing up, but they known a dad that all he did was work. I don't want to do this with my next two children, just constantly work. So I've created businesses. I'm investing in the business and I'm trying to get as much in so that create employment opportunity for others as well. And then I can step back a little.
When you think of your chef, you also write, musician, which one would you say is your passion?
Definitely the music.
Yeah.
The music, yeah. Which is harder to make a living on, so. Yeah.
So when you think of retirement, is that what is that what you see yourself just kind of doing as a hobby?
Yeah, so music, it'll always be a part of me. As long as I can do it, I'm going to do it. Music for me is definitely a job, but it can also be a hobby. And I do see myself wanting to travel or build a house in Guatemala and be able to spend some time over there and do what I love doing the most, which is music.
Yep. And you have music at the restaurant, too. Are you planning to open music?
We're planning to, yep.
Yep. So that's another venue as well.
Yeah.
Right. Which of the music and the food industry, which one would you say is the most difficult?
That's a tough one because the food industry, with the prices of everything just constantly going up and down and having to deal with the financial ends of things and the economy's up and down, that can be very stressful at times because you want to make sure your prices are competitive, but you're still able to pay your employees and pay your bills and everything. The music, you have to decide of whether if you're going to do this full time as a career and make and just live off of that, or are you going to enjoy and just make some money on the side while you're doing it. And so at one time I had my mindset, I want to do music full time. And that can become a little stressful because we're in Toledo, Ohio, as compared to if I was in San Antonio or if I was somewhere else, you know.
Well, why do you say that? What's the big difference between that? Because to me, I would think if you're over there, it's saturated.
It is.
And then over here, you are more unique, sought after.
Absolutely.
Not so, much,
so here, you can get away with raising your prices as far as because you know that you don't have that. It's not so saturated as you would say. But the winter months come along and things die down.
Oh,
and
true.
So as compared to where you're over somewhere where it's a lot warmer, you can sing 5-6 days a week over there. And it's there's the pros and the cons of it
right.
all.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you find people really receptive to eating guacamole, eating at your restaurant? Do you listening to Latino music? Do you find people or is it just the same like Latinos are going?
So
it's
a mix of Latinos and everybody else. I mean, we got a good following of Indian people that come in because we serve vegan.
What type of music do you actually play at the Mexican restaurant?
So because we're called Lowrider Cafe, I play a mix of music. Sometimes I'll have a day or something, but Motown. Other times I'll have a mix of anywhere between 80s to the 2000s pop hits. And then definitely we got bachata going on, mariachi, norteño, trio. A lot of it depends on what kind of mood I'm in, too, I guess.
You ever play any rock?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Oh, I love rock. Yeah.
You still play rock music?
Not as much as
I
like to.
I don't think I've ever heard you do rock music.
No. I love singing it. I love singing it. When I do
sing
out.
I've heard you do Christian and Latino and mariachi.
Yeah, so I've never recorded anything like rock, but when I go out and sing or perform, I'm always singing everything from Lynyrd Skynyrd or to Bon Jovi and other things, you know, when I entertain.
So, yeah.
Huh.
Well, nice. Guys, we do have to start wrapping this up. You know, thank you. That guacamole was so good. So good.
Thank you.
So, you know, thank you very much for, you know, taking your time to come onto the show. And same thing with Yvonne.
Yeah,
right?
You know, thank you. Thank her. You both. This is our first time doing this. Thank you for, you know, having the patience to do this with us on our first one and learning together with us. So thank you so much.
I'm honored, and this was lots of fun, and I got to meet Kevin for the first time, so that's pretty cool. And Linda, you're always fun to be around. you're so fun to be around. So
no, and thank you, Linda. Thank you. You know, we want to, you know, we just want to encourage the community to, you know, to tap in and listen, and you know, we have a lot of great content coming up. So
yep, and I just want to share that I want to thank Jessica for putting in a lot of work and putting all of this together with me, and that next week it will be Jessica with Kevin on La Prensa Habla. So thank you all.
La Prensa Habla, and we'll see you on the next one.
The Local Thread is a production of WGTE Public Media. Episodes can be heard weeknights at 7 on FM 91 or anytime at WGTE.org.